But the first 4 days are misery. But by the fifth day, and it depends on how much toxins you have in your body, I can get into it by the third or fourth day sometimes. By that, you become so aware of the spirit realm. And if you go past 5 days, once you make 5 days, you might as well go on, because now it gets fun. I mean, you start becoming so aware of his presence. Your heart starts softening. You start moving into such a sense of just, man, God is there. Sometimes it gets so holy, you don't even want to talk. And his presence so strong, I just want to lay out on the floor. During a long fast, you get into over 10 days. You get into over the 20-day mark, 25 days. I mean, you're so far out in la-la land somewhere, you're almost too spiritual to come down then. But you'll have 2 or 3 days, just the presence of God is so strong. We are in a fast, a 21-day fast in January of 96. And I've been into it about 18 days, and we went to this church, and a church in Raleigh. And we were there Sunday through Wednesday, which we do daytime sessions when we're there, a couple hours with each person. And we had a team of 3 of us in there, and they were all in fast, and 4 of us were there. And we went in the first session, and you're hearing screaming and hollering all over the building. We went, what is going on? And we ended up after the first session, everybody came out, and we had never had this happen before. But every person had demonic manifestations occur in their sessions. And this isn't a common thing. I don't like talking about demons. I really don't. But that week, we had like 40 personal prayer ministry sessions. And we ended up counting them up. We had 28 screaming manifestations. We'd walk into a room with a person. And I mean, we might go 6 months and never have that happen. We'd walk into a room with a person. And I mean, we might go 6 months and never have that happen. And it was just one of those seasons. The pastor saying, I don't understand. Man, I must not be teaching them the word. They got this kind of demons there. I mean, one of them was a Bernie got in there. There's one guy that was a Marine paratrooper over at Fort Bragg, you know. And he got in there, and Bernie just sat down with him and got, you know, and this, Bernie, what are you thinking? I'm going to kill you. Yeah. Bernie went out and got help, you know. that kid, he's in his 20s, he just got gloriously free. But why did something like that happen? And we realized that you move so into the presence of God, you can just come into the presence of someone. And things begin to come to life in them. And if there's a spirit there within them, it may rise to the surface. And the spirits were terrified just being in the presence of this team that had been in about 15, 18 days of fasting. Now, that was what corporate fasting had done, to cause such demonic activity to be exposed even within so many people's lives. We haven't seen that again. And I don't even really like to talk about it, but I don't like to talk about fasting this in depth either, but it was a direct result of what happened when people went into a long fast, and we were so sensitive and so aware to the presence of God that the demons would even begin to flee as you were there. Now, no one got hurt, and no one happened. Now, I had one little lady come up and try to seduce me, but you know, and I knew right what we were running at there, but thank goodness I had a woman with me in the thing, came right in, took control over that Jezebel spirit and cast it out. Now, she jumped up and tried biting the other woman, but, you know, this is not a common thing. You know, this isn't something we see. I saw more in that 1-3 days of ministry than I'd seen in 13 years of healing ministry. But it was what going in a long fast will bring to the surface, even within people's lives around you. Now, after the verse that says, you will cry and he'll say to me, here I am, we see that once more the conditions for receiving a blessing from the fast. And it says, if you, keep in mind the phrase in verse 9, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wisdom, And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then he promises some more blessings. But what's some of these conditions for the fast? He listed some others. Remember, we went over the four or five in the first couple of verses. He says, part of being blessed during the fast is, do you remove the yoke? Are you coming in the fast just as a duty? Are you coming in the fast with a deep spirit of repentance? Because if you don't come into the fast examining your own life, you probably will not reap a blessing from the fast. You've got to come in here, Father, what is in me? Opening up, looking for the bonds of wickedness, looking for the yoke that's been holding you back. Second thing he says, if you want a blessing from the past, if you do this, then I'll bless you. Do you remove the pointing finger? In other words, where are you pointing blame and fault? Well, if my husband would just change this, we could finally have some peace around the house. Or if the pastor would just, this pastor would stop preaching this or that, and he'd start preaching more faith, more this, more that, then maybe we could get more blessed. Now, if you're still pointing out there that I'm struggling because of what they've done, I'm struggling because my past, my husband won't line up with the word. I'm struggling because my wife is. No, no. You've got to remove that pointing finger. Because during the fast, it's to come back, well, what's in me? What's in me? I've got to humble myself. It's all part. If you, then he. If you remove the yoke. If you remove the pointing finger, the accusations. And you come with an attitude, yes, yes, I'm hurt. Yes, I'm bitter, God, and I know I've got to repent of that. I've got to deal with this. Then that begins to move God, because he's wanting to deal with the bond of wickedness in you that is separating you from having intimacy with him. He's here with arms outstretched. He wants you in his arms. But if you're walking in darkness, the last message we preached last time we were here, if you're walking with darkness, you can't fellowship in the light. And so the fast is to break that yoke of darkness off of you so you can walk in the light with him. Remove speaking wickedness. Tell me, do you speak against other people? Are you involved in gossip? Are you involved in evil reports? Do you take delight? Maybe you keep your mouth shut, but you take delight in listening to evil reports. Fasting's meant to break that off of you, and that needs to be part of the confession and repentance of the fast. It's if we want the blessing of the fast. If we're not going to do this, hey, don't go through the agony. But look for the reward. I'm going to deal with these issues. I'm going to confess the sin. I cannot hardly go through any fast of any length. I'm not on the phone with someone, or I'm not confessing my sin to someone, asking them to forgive me. And you give yourself to the hungry during a fast. This is not just merely the giving of food, but it's developing a heart of sympathy and compassion. The Pharisees gave alms to the poor. That was a duty. It was to make them look righteous. It's got to be developing a heart of compassion, developing a heart of sympathy, developing a heart of tenderness, not just for the poor financially, but the poor in spirit. Do you satisfy the desire of the afflicted? Is the fast about... are you wanting to be blessed of the fast, or is the fast about how can this fast so change me that it helps me change the way I relate to my wife and my kids? So part of the fast is dealing with the repentance in your own life. This is part of the conditions. If you remove these things, deal with these five areas, then God will bless you. That's why many people have fasted, have not found blessing. They've not dealt with the conditions of the fast. They've not dealt with the motives of the fast, or they've not looked to the rewards of the fast. Fasting will transform you in the church, in the city, and we'll see that. Then your light will rise in darkness. If you do these things, then your light will rise in darkness. In Hebrew, the word darkness here means misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, night, obscurity. The darkened areas of your soul, the woundedness of your soul, will be exposed and life will begin to come to you. Now, darkness can mean, and I've taught on these last time I was here, one of three things. It may be unconfessed sin. Light will come in that area as the sin becomes to be brought forth. Maybe unresolved conflicts in relationships. That's why when you're fasting, if you've got unresolved conflict, what do you've got to do? Repent. Resolve it. Not go to them and tell them they're the problem. You've got to deal with the issue in you. Do you want the rewards from the fast? Oh, man, I don't know if I can do that. That's pride. The thing that holds us back from resolving conflict is pride. The root of all problems and all strife in relationships, it says in Proverbs, is pride. Pride is the source of all strife, it says in Proverbs. Not sure exactly which one, but it's there. Darkness may be the walls of self-protection. They need to come.